Welcome to the Gateway Podcast, where we get a chance to sit and talk to the outstanding professionals who serve in the 37 Training Wing. I get the privilege to host this podcast and serve as Warhawk Nation's Command Chief. So, without further delay, let's jump into it. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by our guests and hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any government agency. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the inaugural Gateway Podcast. I'm pretty excited to have my company command first sergeants in the house. What? Pretty exciting. I got three absolute professionals that I get the privilege to serve alongside each and every day. More so my privilege. I don't know if it's their privilege, but we're going to go around the room real quick and introduce yourself. So I'm going to ask you for your name, your hometown, and where you work. We'll start with you, Sergeant Attridge.
Hi, I'm Master Sergeant Jennifer Attridge. I'm from Kerrville, Texas, and I work at the 326 Training Squadron at Lackland Air Force Base.
Oh, what was your previous career field prior to being a shirt?
I'm a medical lab technician, Chief.
Ooh, medical lab. Sounds intriguing. All right, Sergeant Welch, what you got?
All right, Senior Master Sergeant Jimmy L. Welch, Jr. Original hometown is Burlington, North Carolina. I am currently the first sergeant at the 324th Training Squadron, BMT, here at Lackland.
Why do they say North Kakalaka? Where does that come from?
I have no clue.
You ever heard that before?
I've heard it, but no one's ever explained it. Or no one's ever questioned until you, Chief. You're the first one.
Yeah. If somebody's from Ohio, they're going to get an Ohio weird question, too. So for all the listeners out there, if you have it, smash the like button, of course, and maybe drop something in the comments and say, this is why. Sergeant Brooks, over to you.
Hello, I'm Master Sergeant Kimberly Brooks, and I claim Winter Springs, Florida. That's the last place I lived prior to joining the military, and I moved around a lot, so it's
Brat?
Claimed. To an extent.
To an extent.
As a very young child, and then my stepdad was an airplane mechanic, so that had us moving around a lot.
I like to call those people God's chosen people. Those are the heroes, the unsung heroes of the aviation world, the aircraft mechanics. So now you just got 2 points cooler on my book.
Awesome.
I'm pretty excited about that.
And then I currently work at the 341st Training Squadron, military working dogs.
Military puppies.
Yes.
Not puppies. Just the Belgian, what do they call it?
Belgian Malinois.
Well, yeah, what's the nickname for those things? Malinators?
I have not heard that.
Oh, I've heard that.
Belgian Mal is kind of like a shortened version.
Oh, that's
a
slang. Yeah. You got the puppies over there.
Yes, definitely.
So I was walking into one of the briefings the other day, and somebody was fostering one of the puppies. So for the little viewers out there who don't know, you do have a fostering program.
Yes. Yeah, we breed puppies here within the squadron, and then we have amazing volunteers within the community, as well as our military members in the squadron and across the base that foster the puppies that are born here at Lackland.
It sounds fun, but when, again, going into a briefing, one of those dogs bit me on the hand. It's, you know, puppy play biting, but I was like, man, those puppy teeth are sharp.
Yes.
It's a commitment, that's for sure. So you guys are shirts. You have a lot of stuff going on a day-to-day basis. What do you do to decompress? What's your thing?
Chief, mine's physical exercise. I like to run, and that clears my head for the day. I mean, sometimes I don't feel like running, but the minute I get out there, it helps me a whole lot to decompress.
Same. I love that. How many miles you put in a week?
A week? Well, right now I'm training for an ultra marathon.
Of course
you
are.
So I've been trying to climb my miles. So usually right now about 40 a week.
40?
Mm-hmm, right.
Yikes.
Now.
My back is on fire just thinking about that. I do my little 5 a day, or, you know, I do 3.5 to 6 a day.
Well, see, that is long, and I never said I would do an ultra marathon, but I kind of got conned into it, and I'm almost 40, so I was like, I better do it now before I can't.
Oh, hush your mouth. You said almost 40. I remember those days. I remember when my knees felt in their almost 40s. What about you?
Well, now I'm actually really interested because I dabble in the ultra marathon world.
You were never interested in what I did before?
I was, but now you got me more interested, so... no, Chief, I'm a big physical fitness person too. Like, cause I look at it as like, I need something that I can get away from the phone, get away from the office, like to completely disconnect, from the unit and from the people for a minute to kind of reset and refocus. So running, CrossFit, I'm a big CrossFit guy. So I do that. And then by myself, I'm a big sports person, so I'm usually in front of a TV watching some sort of sports.
Okay, what do your teams go? Everybody wants to know this. What are your teams?
Well, being from North Carolina, I grew up, so unfortunately my NFL team's the Panthers, who are terrible right now.
Terrible.
So Panthers, I'm an Atlanta Braves baseball fan. College, my grandfather played basketball at Clemson, so I'm a big Clemson fan in South Carolina.
You're kind of all over the place.
Well, North Carolina, South Carolina, yeah. Right there.
That's.
But we don't have a pro baseball team, so you grew up as like, you better be an Orioles fan or a Braves fan. Better pick one.
Who's your hockey team then?
Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you keep it in state there.
Keep it in state.
All right.
Don't forget my roots.
Ma'am?
I forget the question.
The question is, what are you into? What do you do? How do you decompress? What are you like? What is the shirt
from the
341st training squadron? What do you do to decompress and kind of get your mind right?
So running is definitely something that kind of helps just take everything away. I like to look at nature while I'm running, and it's kind of weird. I'm not really a headphones person.
Oh.
It bothers me.
Whoa, you're the one.
Yes.
That's pretty
good.
There's
always one.
Yeah. So you can run and without listening to music or listen to this podcast?
I mean, if I'm training, then I'll use music as a tempo to kind of keep me at a certain pace. But if I'm just running to run, I just run with nothing. Yes.
So you have a very difficult job. I don't think there's any really easy jobs in the Air Force. And if they are, let me know. I'll cross train. 27 years in, I'm down to cross train. But with that, what is the hardest part in your aspect of being a first sergeant? What are the hard things to do? We'll start with you since you forgot last time my question.
Yes, sir. The hardest part for me is dealing with either interpersonal conflict or emotional response. Those are probably the kind of the same area of issue, just personality type stuff that comes out. And you never necessarily know what to expect because, you know, people who think about what they're going through is not necessarily what you know that they're going to bring up and how they're going to bring it up. So that would be the most difficult part to me.
I would say that too. Sometimes you think somebody's going to come in and tell you something and they hit you with something completely different as well. That's it. That always keeps you on your toes as a diamond. That is for sure.
So the hardest part, I think, so I completely agree with Sergeant Brooks. Absolutely. I think having tough conversations, like as you become a first sergeant, you learn to have tough conversations. So having the ability to have those tough conversations, and people always don't want to hear what they have to hear. Sometimes you got to tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear, right? So those conversations can be tough, and trying to maintain that rapport and credibility with them, and having them trust that you have their right thing in mind for them to help them, right? I think the other piece that gets very complicated is the emotional roller coaster of being a first sergeant. You may go weeks on end where you just feel like you're getting kicked in the chest. You can't get a win. But then you do get the wins and you're helping somebody through the tough time or whatever it is. But the constant unpredictability of like, hey, I'm doing discipline with the commander over and over, but then you got to go out and give BTZ recognition and awards presentations. And then you're getting that phone call where there's been a death in the unit. So it's just the constant up and down and trying to keep your mind in the right place and focused.
You just said something that I was literally talking to military training instructors. I think every career field has, you know, a developmental plan for having the art of the hard conversation, a difficult conversation. Some career fields are more apt than others, but I think it's an accelerator process when you're a military training instructor because you're going to be forced in some of those things. And I think that's a good primer. So when I have the MTIs, I'm going to actually ask that question of what skill set you're learning and, you know, how are you dealing with the art of the hard conversation? Because it only gets, I'm going to say worse, but it only gets more complex. It only gets more challenging, I think, as I'm looking at three professionals, as you go up, you're having even more awkward conversations because you're in charge of more awkward and complex situations at times. But you, ma'am?
To be honest, Chief, what they said is exactly what I was going to say, just dealing with the interpersonal conflict. And you don't really know what is going to happen depending on what the person's going through. That is the roughest part about being a first sergeant, and a lot of people don't want to get close to that sometimes because people can be difficult to deal with, but depending on what they're going through. But I agree with these two wholeheartedly.
Let's change it up then. How about this? So right now, the 37 Training Wing is really going after what made you stay? You know, obviously all three of you have re-enlisted. I'd ask you the question, it's a two-part, so focus. Why'd you join and why'd you stay?
Well, Chief, why I joined is to leave Kerrville. I graduated with 75 people.
right around the corner here.
And we didn't have any money for school. I had nowhere to go. So I wanted to do something else, and I stumbled into this. And I only meant to stay 4 years. I came in open general, and it turned into six. I got my third pick, and then I learned that I really loved my job. I got to see the world, and so why I stay is vastly different than why I joined. I love the organization. I love that the organization turned into family for me. And I love to help. And when it's time to go, I'm going to cry. I'm crying right now thinking about it, actually.
Are you?
I am.
Me too. I could feel the coolness. Like, you know how the sun sets on you when you're a little kid and you were out there playing and maybe in the pool or something and the sun starts to set and you're like, ooh, what's that chill? I can feel that chill, but for me, it's my career. It's the end of this journey. Sure. So thank you for sharing that. What about you?
So I think I joined, probably my primary reason was I didn't want to go to school. Like I hated going to school. So I was like, I'll just join the military. I'll join the Air Force. And I was also, I wanted to be a firefighter. So that's my original career field. I got my number one choice and I came in right after post 9/11. So it was kind of those things. But then here, of course, I didn't want to go to school. And I find myself, you know, 21 years later with associate's degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree. So I went to school. So I guess that box got checked. So why I stayed, you know, it's funny. I often get this question over in BMT from the trainees when I'm doing departure briefs. So they know I'm at 20 years because I tell my story. And they say, well, why are you still here? Like, why haven't you retired yet? You can retire. And I tell them all the same thing. I'm like, until the day I wake up and I don't enjoy putting the uniform on and coming and helping airmen and serving in the Air Force, I'm going to keep doing it. So I keep showing up because I love what I do. Kind of the same thing with Sergeant Atridge, like I love what the Enterprise stands for. I love what the Air Force has given me. And I tell trainees all the time this too, is like, squeeze this lemon for every bit of juice you can get out of it. The Air Force is going to put you to work. They're going to ask a lot of you, but take advantage of the opportunity to travel the world. Take advantage of the education. Take advantage of all these benefits. Like, so I look back on all the things the Air Force has offered me, the education I haven't paid a penny for. I've probably been to every country in Europe, been to Korea, been to Japan, deployed six times. Like the experiences and the things I've seen and done, like, can't be replaced. So I feel like I owe it to the Air Force to give everything I got and to continue to do it while I still love it.
You know what the Air Force, what I heard out of that as well, is the two things that people can never take away from you. Nothing can ever be taken away from you is your experiences and your education. Those are locked in now. That is yours and yours alone, no matter what. You could lose all your money. You could have no shoes, but that's awesome. So thank you for that answer.
Well, I joined the military. I remembered the question.
Nailed it. Both questions. There's two parts.
Yes, I remember both questions. I joined the military a little bit later than probably most people who joined right out of high school because I got married while I was still in high school. My husband was military, so as a dependent, I was working at Walmart and noticed that he had a lot more benefits than I did and didn't work as many days as I did, as well as the pay was a little bit more. So I call it joining for the luxuries of the Air Force, as you ended with. You know, you can't take away all of those benefits that we get. I mean, there's plenty of calculators out there that tell you we are extremely lucky, and I'm grateful for that. And why I stayed was ultimately because of the people. There's a lot of people out there who either get misinformation or share misinformation, but I wanted to be a first sergeant just to have that impact on people and be there in those tough moments, have those tough conversations, but also make sure people are getting the right information and able to kind of go through their decision-making process better, to be there for them through all of that. So I had maybe some not so great supervisors, but a lot of opportunity for growth, and a lot of opportunities to learn, also from my great supervisors who, you know, stuck it out with me through all of my good and bad. So I just wanted to repay that back.
All right. Who is the supervisor? I'm sure you all have 15, and we could go on about 10 to 15 hours of podcasting time. But who just jumped out in your mind? I'm going to ask all you the same question.
We're not saying names, are we, Chief?
Yeah. Who is the supervisor who jumps out at you that helped you along the way? That somebody who's like, wow, this individual really poured into me and helped me along the way. I'm sure, and because we get kind of stage fright on this question sometimes, is people, oh, I don't want to just name one person because I feel like I'll slight another person. Just go with what you got. Who's the person right now you just thought of when it comes to somebody pouring into you and helping you along the way?
So I would say the first supervisor that I had that took the time to do a feedback with me when I was basically becoming a staff sergeant. I was senior airman but had made staff. This was the first time in my career I had a feedback. That was at, he retired as a senior mass sergeant, Roundtree. He worked out at AFPC. So he actually lives here, kind of still full circle, from the beginning of my career when I was at Ramstein, Germany. He was my supervisor there that really kind of poured into me and was there for me, put me up for awards, which I had never had the opportunity to get. He questioned, you know, different things of previous to my career, just kind of saying, why didn't this happen? And forced me to kind of go through and understand that I have control of my career and that I need to make sure that I'm knowing what to do and knowing where to go and where do I want to go. So it was really awesome just to have that experience. Not that I haven't had any other great, you know, supervisors, but he was definitely the first.
Yeah, shout out to Sergeant Roundtree, or Senior Roundtree out there. Yes. Still getting it. Awesome.
I had to think about this for a second because there's quite a few.
You can skip. I think.
No, I'm good.
We can come back to
one. I know I only get to pick one, so I got to think of the one that was the most impactful to me. I'd probably say is actually a civilian, retired senior master sergeant, but he's GS-14 civilian, my fire chief from Andrews before I became a first sergeant. He's probably the first person that really poured into me development-wise and like really took put their arms around me and like pushed me out of my comfort zone and made me go do things that I didn't necessarily want to do, but I needed to do. So he put me in front of opportunities at the wing. He put me out there to lead things. He's that person that saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So like I didn't know I would ever achieve senior master sergeant in my career. Like I never, that was a pipe dream for me. I was a master select at the time. I thought that was icing on the cake to be a master sergeant and retire at 20. I was like, this is great. This is awesome. It's a great goal. I never thought I could achieve this, right? So he poured into me, which ultimately led to my command chief, you know, DSDing me to be a first sergeant, which has led me to here today. So he's probably the one that was most impactful that, you know, developed me when I didn't know I needed to be developed.
Well, this was hard for me too, but
you had a lot of time to think about it. The other two were like on the spot. So
you're right, Chief. But I had a lot of 22 years of supervisors that popped up in my mind. And I would say probably the most pivotal that I could think of is Master Sergeant Mohe. I was a staff sergeant at Beale Air Force Base in a real small lab, about as big as your office. And
I have a small office.
Before he came along, I was in charge of the lab as a staff sergeant because we were waiting for him to show up. And he got there and was running things, and things were pretty good. And then along the way, the Air Force was doing the non-vols for MTIs, and I was a staff sergeant at the time, but they were taking a lot of females, and I was like, you know what, I think I would like to do that. So I went to Master Sergeant Mohe, and I'll never forget what he said. I said, Master Sergeant Mohe, I was like, I really like to be an MTI. Will you help me? He said, no. He said, you're not mean enough. You can't do that. I said, Sergeant Mohe, I was like, I beg to differ. So we had a little chat about this. Because, I mean, lab techs, we do a lot of customer service, so you don't get a chance to see the other side of a person, if you will, if you want to work on your customer service skills. But we had a chat about it, and he helped me through that and got me here. To be an MTI, that's also another special duty that I've done along the way in my career. And I know if I did not ever become a military and training instructor, it wouldn't have set me on the path to be a first sergeant and be a better supervisor and be a better leader. So that's my answer.
That's great. That's a good answer. So you guys, everyone looks at us as a first sergeant. You're like, oh, that's awesome. They're going to make a uniform correction on me. No, I'm just kidding.
And then somebody's going to argue with you about it.
Somebody's going to argue with you about it. Yeah, we have that on quite
where
a bit.
Where is it written?
Yeah, where's it written? Those are the best. Those are the best. So we're in the diamond. One of the person I want to give a shout out to, because as you were talking about that, one of my mentors, one of my close friends is the diamond one right now. So John Allsvig, Chief Allsvig. If I need some first sergeanting right now, he is the person I like that I go to, because he's the maestro of the first sergeant, so he's definitely in the right position. What goals are you getting after right now? What is something that you have set for you as a personal goal or a professional goal that you can't answer twice now? You can't say, hey, I'm doing an ultra marathon. But what are some of the goals that you're working at right now?
So my goals, I guess, professionally is just to be the best first surgeon I can be, to be there for people in every capacity that I have the capacity to do so. And also to get my bachelor's degree. I'm working towards a business degree so that I can hopefully one day own a bed and breakfast or possibly restaurant of sorts. So that's kind of on the personal side later on.
You're going to have people in the house, you're going to have to cook for them? Is that what a bed and breakfast is? I've never been to one.
Not necessarily within your home, but...
I'm thinking about like the Airbnb type thing?
No, not Airbnb, more so like a unique location that... It could be by the water, or it could be historic, or it could have sort of variables that allow isolation and less devices, and then I can kind of pick whatever I want to cook. At least that's how I look at it, like catch of the day. If you're coming over to my house, you're eating what I'm cooking, so that's kind of how I would run my restaurant or bed and breakfast.
I hope I didn't just give your business model away, too.
It'll be okay. I'll still succeed.
See? Driven.
Driven.
Driven. All right. Professional goal. So professional goal-wise, for me, selfishly, I want to try and make Chief at this point. That's probably one of my personal goals. Professionally, you know, I love the position I'm in as a senior diamond. There's been nothing... I've loved my diamond time in the unit, but nothing's given me more joy than helping other first sergeants. I really help, like, being that mentor to the younger shirts when they need help and trying to set their path to being a first sergeant. So I want to continue to do that, to be a mentor to younger first sergeants. I do a lot of that as the ATC Diamond Advisory Group lead, so pouring back into first sergeants so I can leave the first sergeant community better than I found it. So that's probably one of my biggest professional goals. Personal goals is more or less, like, post-military time. Like, I put my degrees to use. I'm a big-time sports guy. That's why I got my bachelor's in sports management. My MBA I have an MBA with Incident Sports Event Security. So I want to break into the sports world, work somewhere in that community. So,
me too. That's one of my dream jobs. I want to work for the Raiders so I can get free tickets.
They're on my list because Vegas is a retirement spot for us, hopefully.
Let's go.
We're there. We're in.
Let's go make some money.
Let's do it.
Personally, Chief, living in the moment, what I mean by that, and helping bring that and infuse that into my unit and the people I'm around every day. I think most of us take things for granted and we don't really think about how great we have things, and just being in the moment, and even though whatever we're dealing with could suck at the time, just embracing it for what it is, because if you handle it positively, other people will see that and in turn affect their lives. So personally, that's something that I wake up and try to work on every day. Professionally, what I'm going to do after all this is said and done, and I've got two different things I'm thinking about. I've got a friend that's working for a lab equipment company that's doing really well. That's probably the second option. The first, probably something centered around health and nutrition. So
yeah, we have the Human Performance Squadron here, and I tell you, Lieutenant Colonel Doc Cassidy over there, I pick his brain constantly about sleep hygiene and, you know, all the things. I think that's something that's emerging right now that's really going to start taking weight or taking us into the future. So there's a lot of stuff that inspires you out there, I'm sure. What is something out there that's inspiring you right now? Podcast, book, quotes? What's out there? What is something right now that jumps in your mind that's inspiring you?
I'll say books. I don't really or did not used to like to read a lot. But some of the things I've been working on about being in the moment of things, there's a lot of self-help books that bring a lot of things that you just don't think about day to day, or maybe people just don't talk about that you're around, that keep me motivated to stay strong with my goals. Books.
So you have to give me a go-to book right now.
So right now...
And again, we're not promoting any book, so sorry, but I just want to know what the book is.
The book that I'm reading?
Yeah, what is it?
So this book is centered around abstaining from alcohol. It's called Sober on a Drunk Planet. And it's just interesting, the community, not the community, but really the world we live in and how it's centered around alcohol influence and taking out a different mindset of enjoying your life and being in the moment has been very inspirational.
Really?
Yes.
Now I have
there's
to
three,
read it.
I think there's three books. I've only read the first two.
There's three books mm-hmm. of the same subject.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, interesting. Now, maybe I'll read the first book.
Okay, you should start with book one because
you have it.
You don't know what happened in the first two of you.
Do you have those books?
I do. I have them on. Well, I have them on my what is that? The Apple Books.
Oh, I have a Kindle. I'm old school.
Well, if there's a way that I can find them on there, I'll let you know.
I'm gonna see if it's free because I'm cheap.
Nothing in the world is free anymore, Chief.
There's a lot of free Kindle books out there, and again, everything we talk about in this podcast, I hope you know, it's not for the. We're not trying to promote anyone. We're not trying to promote Apple or any of the books or anything like that. Just conversations.
What was the inspiration, right?
It was inspiring.
Inspiring me. So, same as Sergeant Atridge. I didn't read until I was probably a senior NCO. Like once again, going back to why I joined the Air Force, I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to read. I didn't want to do none of that. But I learned to be a reader. You know, what they say, knowledge is power. So, I do read a lot now. So reading is kind of a hobby. But I read a lot of stuff. Like I'll read a lot of leadership, a lot of stuff like that, self-improvement, but then I still want to read stuff that interests me, sports, biographies, stuff like that. So reading is kind of my thing. Yeah. I'll go with reading.
All right. If you don't say reading, you're out of here.
I'm definitely not a reader.
Oh. She's going to be a reader after
it's
today.
Coming. It's coming.
I'll give you a book to read.
I do listen to audiobooks or podcasts, something along the lines where I'm, for some reason, when I read, I can't always keep track and I lose focus a lot very easily. But I'm also a paper book person, so maybe that's a problem. I don't know. But the audio version of anything is perfectly okay. And it's about a 30-minute to an hour drive, depending on traffic. So that allows a lot of listening time from my house to the where I work. So
I cannot fall asleep unless I'm reading for the most part now. That's it. Like I'm gonna come in to work and my exec is gonna see me with like no front teeth because I drop the paper white on my face constantly because it's nature's melatonin. But yeah, I'm with you. I didn't get into reading until pretty much I was tech sergeant, master sergeant time frame, but it makes all the difference. And in school I used to just kind of push myself through book reports, and by push I would cheat. But look at us now, we made it. If you can have dinner with two people, living or dead, who would those two people be and why? Look at I wish that we videotaped this thing because you should see their faces right now. That everyone got the gas face. It was,
like someone that you would not normally be able to eat?
I don't know. Just anybody. You could pick whoever you want. This is your time. This is your dinner. Catch of the day.
I know I have one for sure. Probably my first one is Kobe. Big sports fan. I love Kobe. I love everything Kobe. I love the mama mentality. You know, that ruthless pursuit to be the best. I would love to sit down and pick Kobe's brain about, you know, hear the stories about, you know, being in the gym at 4 a.m, the other person walks in and it's like, why you been here so early? Because you're not, you know, I'm putting in that work. So Kobe would be the top of my list. And I'd actually love to sit down, like back to probably my favorite book. I'm a huge Goggins fan, David Goggins. So to sit down with David Goggins, because that dude is just ruthless when it comes to like mental toughness.
Absolutely.
Mentality.
Yeah.
To spend a day with Goggins, I mean, you might leave sore and tired because he's going to put you through the ringer, but that would be a cool experience to have dinner with him. I don't think Goggins will let you just have dinner with him. I think it's going to be like, hey, we're going to do a workout, and then we'll have dinner.
And then he'll try to break you.
And he'll try to break you.
Absolutely.
But that would be legit.
Who's going to carry the boats? And I always say, for the Air Force folks out there, who's going to launch the jets? Well, maybe there's a maintainer say that.
I think for myself, I love food, so my first name that comes to mind is Gordon Ramsay.
That's intimidating.
Yeah.
You think so?
I would be. I'd
I
be
mean,
extremely
if he
intimidated.
Cooked for me, that would make it even better. But just the, I love to cook, so they would be interesting conversation to me. I know it might not be as inspiring as some
other
people.
No, hey, this is your story. This is just your portion of the podcast. We're just in here enjoying each other's company.
Yes. So anybody that cooks great, but Gordon Ramsay is the one that comes to mind. Outside of that, my husband's away right now, so I'd like to have dinner with him.
There we go. Great answer.
He's a great conversationalist. So
is he really?
Yes.
Does he run a podcast?
No, he does not, but I have told him that he should.
He should. Maybe we'll have him on. We'll get some inspiration there. And then
he works over at ALIS and ACC.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know what that means, but
they travel
it sounds
all
awesome.
The time. Altercation.
The 668?
Yes.
The ALIS.
ALIS?
Yeah, ALIS.
I don't know what that
means. It's a bunch of C troops.
Sounds awesome.
C Com
troops.
Cable.
Com
yes.
troops.
Oh, look at that. It's like, and cable dogs.
C Com.
So everyone relax. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, for as much cooking that Sergeant Brooks does, I've yet to see a council meeting.
Almost
I haven't
said
seen her come in like, hey guys, I made you guys some breakfast, or here's some food to try.
I bring stuff to work.
Yeah. Well, we have meetings every other Friday, and then every Tuesday over there.
I know, especially the ones that I show up to. That'd be great. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, those are usually sponsored by Jalisco's.
Yes.
I know. Usually I'm ravenous, and I'm like, I'm fasting right now. I'm like, never mind, just kidding. I'm going to eat this burrito.
So mine, I'm sitting here trying to think who I'd want to eat dinner with, and my answer really is like, throughout my time in the Air Force, I have met some people like that just stick out in my mind. If I could get them all at the dinner table together throughout 22 years, probably about 8 of them I could think of, that would make me the happiest. Like all of them that have influenced my life in some form or fashion. That's my answer. I know it's very different, but
that was way different.
Yes,
but it's your answer.
I am different though.
Yeah, you are. So I wanted to start this podcast up. Or actually, here's the truth in lending. You're the first episode. I did not want to start a podcast again because I thought I was going to do it. I have to do the editing, but our producer over there gets to do all the editing for us. So the executive producer is our PA team here. And the boss was like, please, I've listened to your podcast from previous bases. Let's fire this thing up. And I'm like, oh, but I love talking to people. I love connection. That's what I want everyone to belong to the Air Force who wants to belong to the Air Force. So you're it. You get to be my very first podcast here. And one of the street taxes that I'm going to ask you for, this is the final question. If you were me and you're the Warhawk chief here at the gateway to the Air Force, 37 Training Wing, you're the command chief, what piece of advice would you give to me? I am stumping them with these questions right now. Getting them. I love to see first sergeants perplexed. You're not going to hurt my feelings either.
I'll start. I feel like you are very well poised and very well good at communicating. And I don't necessarily see you speak too often, but you do come to our meetings and everything along that nature. We're kind of different over in the 341st. So I just always ask people to listen to their troops because we move up in positions. We move out of our SME, our expertise, so to speak. And sometimes we forget to wholeheartedly listen to those around us that are going through it because our perspective has completely changed again as we move into different positions and as we move up in ranks our peers change it becomes less and less and who we complain to changes and what we complain about changes so for me it's just listening. Just given your position.
I love it. I love it. Thank you.
Well, I think you already do this. So it's kind of hard to say, to tell you like, hey, piece of advice, because you're already kind of doing it. But it's what you do every day is like engaging with folks. I think it's so important for a wing command chief. I had that at Andrews when I got vectored to be a shirt because I knew my command chief. Like I worked events. He had personally sought out time and talked to me and introduced me and had a personal conversation with me. And I think you already do a really good job of this. You meet with people one-on-one all the time. We've had one-on-ones. You do with all the shirts. Whoever wants a one-on-one, you provide it, right? But getting around to the different squadrons, meeting the lowest ranking airmen all up to the squadron commander to see what's on people's minds, like you do a great job at engaging. I say just continue to engage because sometimes we all work busy jobs. I know my job's busy. I know these two shirts with me is busy. So I know you're even more busy. And it's really hard to break away from that computer screen and when you have 84,000 tasks stacked up. But I'm guilty of it too. It's like, I know I have tasks, but I got to step away. I got to go out there and see what my military training instructors are doing and engage with them. So I think that's just, it's just that engagement piece. Continue to engage. And kind of goes with what Sergeant Brooks said, like to get the real pulse of what's happening across the wing.
Absolutely.
And I think finally continue to give people the why behind things and share your personal stories with them to relate, make them more comfortable. Because, I mean, you can sit there in an all call and have people ask questions all the time and you never really get to their like root cause or what they really want to say. But if they know that they can trust you and you come with them to a personal level, you'll get more out of them than you thought.
That's why I like that. I came up with the 72-hour rule when I was a first sergeant. And I was like, you know, as a shirt, you're readily available for everybody. But I'm like, hey, if you ever just want to have coffee or lunch or dinner or just come to the office and break bread and you want to get on the calendar, I'll mark out the time in the calendar. Like I said, the all call just a second ago, and I say it in pretty much every all call I've ever been in. Just give me the opportunity and I'll give you the most important resource that I have is that time. Because I enjoy it. Like the belongingness of the Air Force is something that I feel like I'm a part of a very valuable team. And it doesn't matter what job, you know, that we're in. It doesn't matter when I was as a former mechanic, as a former military training instructor, a former first sergeant. It's the engagement with human, the engagement with people and all the things that we get a chance to do here. So in closing, I'm blessed. Like you said, living in that moment, I need to live in the moment more. So thank you for that. Everything that you say, I'm squinting with my ears. I really am. Not all the time. I wish I was better at it as well, but I'm listening. And with that, thank you for listening to the Gateway Podcast. Thank you three for being on it. I look forward to sharing more experiences and having some of these same questions and even more questions for the men and women who get to serve in the 37th Training Wing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Teammates, thank you for tuning in. For any topics, questions, or guest requests, please shoot me an email or leave a comment below. Thanks for tuning in. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by our guests and hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any government agency.